Today we come to the Sunday that is known as Low Sunday. It's the Sunday after Easter. And there's a bit of a contrast between the great faith and the great story of Easter and then the challenges that Thomas has in believing that the Lord is truly risen. Thomas's name was, or what he was called, was Didymus. And Didymus is where we get the root word duo or dual. And so it means two. And it's a fitting name for him because there's two very different people in this story. The first person is the Thomas who was with Christ. And Christ said, I got to go back to Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover. And all of the disciples said, you're nuts. We're not going there. You're going to get killed. We can't go there. And Thomas is the one who stood up and said, then let us die with him. So absolutely put everything he had, everything was invested in Christ. And he was ready to go die for him in Jerusalem. But as it was, he saw Christ hang on the cross with his own two eyes. He saw him dead and buried. And I guess he probably said that saying that we say nowadays, maybe in a different way, and certainly in a different language, but fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice. I mean, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. He's like, I'm not going to go investing myself again and allowing myself to get excited again and allowing myself to trust in him again, unless, and what are the conditions he gives? Unless I see him with my own eyes, and unless I take my finger and I stick it in the wounds where the nails were and where he was, you know, stabbed in the side, unless I can stick my hand in there and feel it and touch it and see it, I won't believe. He doesn't say I can't believe, he says I won't believe. An interesting thing happens. After Christ is resurrected from the dead, he first meets with Mary at the tomb. And then he says, go back and tell the disciples, I'll see them in Galilee. And she runs back and he meets with the other women. They run back and they tell the disciples. And the disciples now are in the upper room, but they're fearing for their lives. They were with Christ. And so they were associated with him. And they just killed Christ, and they're looking for anyone else who was associated with him in any way. And so they're terrified, and they're hiding. And Jesus appears to them. And it's interesting because the words of the scriptures say that the doors were closed. In other words, Christ just appears in the room. They're not quite sure how that whole thing happens, but you can imagine they're feared for their lives. Their doors are locked, and they're being quiet up there, and they're hiding out. And Christ appears. And what are the first words that he speaks to them? And he says it twice. Peace be with you. Peace. We're about to get killed over here. But they see Christ for the first time as he passes through. But guess who wasn't there? Thomas. I can relate to Thomas. I don't know if you can relate to Thomas. I can relate to him. I am not investing in that unless I know absolutely. I'm not doing this unless I've seen it with my own eyes. I am not. And this is part of our culture today. We don't necessarily have a culture of faith. It's very small. It's really a culture of show me and then I'll believe. And well, of course you'll believe if you see it. And so anyway, Thomas isn't there. And so he comes back. And of course, all the disciples are like, Thomas, you missed it. How many times has that happened to me in my life? You just missed it, man. If you were just here 5 minutes earlier, you would have seen this amazing thing. But what they say to him, the Lord has appeared to us. We saw him with our eyes. So now the women have said they saw him. The 11 of the 12 disciples are like, hey, we saw him too. But Thomas still, and maybe you can relate to this. People are, I'm telling you, you got to believe me. I don't know about that. Unless I see it with my own eyes, I will not believe. And these are the words of Thomas. In today's passage, the second thing happens. Jesus appears again. And this time Thomas is there. I wish that I could have been in the room. I would just love to have seen Thomas's face after all the denials. And no way, I won't believe. I'm not investing in this again. You guys are nuts. We've been screwed once. I'm not going to do it again. Imagine seeing his face when Christ appears. An interesting thing happens. The first thing that Jesus says is, of course, peace be with you. And the disciples now are stunned. He's appeared again a second time. And Thomas, this is his first time. And Jesus says to him, Thomas, come here. Okay. Thomas comes to Christ and he says, take your finger and put it in this wound right here. Take your finger here. Put it right here. Christ had heard what he had said. Christ knew what he was thinking. Christ knew how challenged his faith had been. And so Christ says, just go ahead, put your finger in. Thomas never gets to that point. He just falls on his knees and his face before Christ. And he says, my Lord and my God. He never actually did have to touch him. He needed that. He fell on his face, and Jesus says to him an amazing thing. He says, you believe because you've seen, but blessed are they who have not seen and yet believe. And he talks to the disciples about having little faith. And then he talks to Thomas specifically about having faith in Christ. Be not unbelieving. Maybe we can relate to this story because things happen in our lives where we have invested ourselves in Christ. I mean, I've been coming to church now for 27 years every Sunday, right? I'm invested in this. And so I've invested in Christ. And then things happen in our lives, whether it be the death of a family member that we love, or of a child, or a sickness, or maybe we go bankrupt or we lose our money. Some major challenge hits us. And like Thomas, we feel like, man, I've invested all of this in you, and now this is how I'm repaid, and this is what I'm going through, and these are the pains and sufferings that I'm experiencing. I don't know if I want to invest myself in that again. And this is the kind of situation that Christ is speaking into this morning. He's telling us to be believing. To be believing does not mean be seeing. It doesn't mean that we be touching, feeling, holding, even though we do in the Mass. But what he's saying is to hold on to our faith, to have faith. And this idea of faith, we have to understand, is not about feelings. We may have doubts. Thomas had doubts. We've all struggled with doubts. Faith is about our outward actions. I probably shared this with you. I read Billy Graham's life story once years ago. And one of the things that stood out to me was that he went into the woods with his Bible. And he laid his Bible on this tree stump and he began to cry. And he said, I'm struggling. How can some of this stuff be? How could some of these things have happened? How can this be? I'm struggling with this. And he didn't like that he was struggling. He hated that about himself. He hated the fact that it wasn't just coming natural and just always felt great about it. And so as he's struggling and praying, at the end of his prayer, he gets up and he writes in his, you know, his story about how he got up and he closed his Bible and he looked to heaven and he said, Lord, even if I don't feel, I'm still going to obey you and love you and serve you. That is faith. It's not always about cognitively believing or understanding God. We can't comprehend or understand him. It's about obeying God, and it's about trusting in God when we don't understand him. That's the life of faith. When we're hurting and it's not pleasurable and fun, holding on and saying, and as the psalmist said, though he slay me, yet will I love him. That's faith. Mother Teresa went through the same thing if you read her life journal. A lot of her life journal is, God, where are you? And we look at her and we're like, what a faithful servant, because she had faith. She was struggling. If you ever read the book by De Sales, The Dark Night of the Soul, if anybody gets serious about God in their lives, they'll go through this experience. I've been through it. This dark night of the soul where God detaches himself. Not really. He's always present with us, but he allows us to struggle in our life circumstances and our relationship with him to develop our faith, because this is how faith is developed. So I guess ultimately what today is all about, Low Sunday, is contrasted with High Sunday. And the two personalities of Thomas, the one who says, I'm going to go fight for Christ and die. And the other one who goes, I will never believe again. And doesn't that reflect the human condition of the struggle, the internal struggle we have with the mystery of God? And so the ultimate answer to the struggle of the mystery of God is to be believing. Not necessarily always getting it, not necessarily always feeling it. There's a lot of Sundays I'd rather lay in bed than get up and do what I'm doing right now. But we do it because I have faith and I believe and I love him. And that's the life he called us to. And so in your own life, maybe it would make sense to look at the circumstances currently that maybe you're going through, or the people that you're struggling with, or the circumstances that you're struggling with, and then to rededicate yourself to a commitment to love and serve God to your last breath. And the one thing I can promise you is you'll never regret that. You may lay on your deathbed one day and regret a lot of things, but you will never regret anything you did to the service of Christ. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.